As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
to Wild and Crazy Nights.
The Athletic presents Hogan Johns.
Hogue for the win.
We're in a damn corner.
We're going to consistently put players in position to succeed. Most important piece is we're going to take the North and never give it back.
From CHGO, it's Adam Hogue.
I don't think that this is a full rebuild, but you definitely have to retool your roster.
And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
Hey, what's up, Flus?
And we're going to have measurable ways for standards of performance every single rep, every single game.
Anyway, who cares?
Now, here they are. The Adams, Hogue and Johns.
What's up? Welcome in, Hogue and Johns, back with you. With I don't even know. We're just still post draft, trying to soak it all in. I got a lot to share. I haven't been on the show for a couple weeks or whatever it's been. Time is meaningless right now to me. I feel like
Caleb Williams went to the Cubs game, not the White Sox game.
Yeah. I mean, I don't blame him. I don't think I'd go to a Sox game either. In fact, I'm not going to Sox games. So yeah, I think that was a good call on his part and the Bears part for that. No, I saw some of those videos on Saturday. People from CHGO stalking them a little bit, you know?
You got your 1:20 p.m. club there hanging in the bleachers.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Does Greg Braggs actually have that like in his contract where he can actually go to Cubs games at 1:20 and just like hang out, drink beers, and like this is the job?
Yeah. And then he complains about it because he says it's work. Yeah. He's like, I can't do it. I can't do stuff Friday. I gotta work at the Cubs game. It's like you're drinking at Murphy's Bleachers at 10 a.m. What are you talking about? I don't know how he got that gig. It's a pretty good gig. But yeah, him and Cody Delmendo, they have tickets to every single Friday game because they're all at 1:20. Every Friday home game, obviously. And then everybody just shows up and they hang out in the bleachers. It looks fun. I'm going to go one of these weeks.
Yeah.
It looks really fun.
Yeah, come. Throw me a free shirt. Okay, that's awesome. Good for him.
Yeah.
Beats Bricklaying. That's right. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, when he actually had to work, I can't imagine how insufferable he was. Now it's like, yeah. Oh, I got to go to here.
Well, it's probably the same, like, nonstop Bears talk.
Yeah. No, they're doing actually a really good job with that. It's fun. I've been just following on social media. It's good stuff. And then, yeah, Caleb and the Bears were there on Saturday. Exciting times in Chicago. Obviously with what's been going on with Caleb Williams the last couple of weeks. Thanks for hanging in with me. You and Kevin held down the, actually, no, Kevin wasn't with you last week. You just interviewed some people and you made people angry with Bruce Feldman, apparently.
Yeah. Kevin had his own things going on. Yes. Yeah. So, but Bruce is a legend in this business. So,
it was good stuff and, good to be back. And I appreciate everybody's messages and support the last couple of weeks. It's been tough, and this is going to kind of keep going on. But it's, like everybody's got a lot of stuff in their lives. We just move on. We keep, we'll move on, but we just, I don't know, fight through it. We'll get through it. And I just, anyway, appreciate everybody's support and patience too. But we're going to do the best here to still pump out as many episodes as we can. The good thing is it's the off season now. I feel like once the draft, we operate more on like the scouting calendar. I feel like we're like the season starts a training camp, but it doesn't really end until the draft's over.
And I feel like with this draft, there was so much excitement like leading up to it. And then it was the selection was finally made. The Roma Dunze selection put Bears fans over the top. And then everyone's just like, I'm just going to check out and relax for a while.
Yeah. No, that's good. I mean? That's good. I recharge for the season. It's going to start early this year because the Bears are in the Hall of Fame game. Sure. So training camp starts early. We got OTAs coming up. We got mini camp. The next few weeks are going to be busy. And of course, rookie mini camp coming up this weekend for the Bears. First time Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze and the whole rookie class will be in Bears uniforms. So we'll have that covered for you too with an episode probably Monday when all that wraps up. We'll recap everything that happened at House Hall. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns, and of course the show account at Hogan Johns. That's where we solicited questions for this episode. It's going to be a Q&A type episode, which we like to do occasionally. We also want to remind you our merch is up at HoganJohns.com. The quarter zips.
We're wearing
them. We got two different options for you, and we are both wearing them today, unplanned. They're excellent. Appreciate everybody's bought them so far. Perfect right now for the spring season for golfing. They've perfect match with the polos if you've gotten them. I also want to address, too, because you know people have fairly pointed this out. They're not the cheapest item in our Hogan Johns merch store. We understand that. But what I will tell you is, and this is the one thing I really appreciate about our partners at Obvious Shirts, everything they sell is high quality. And that includes these. So these are high quality Adidas quarter zips. Same thing with our polos that we put out last year. Like anybody who bought those realizes they're really high quality polos. So totally understand if they're too expensive for you to buy. No feelings at all or hurt. But just know if you do purchase them, you're getting a high quality product. So, and of course, it's still
the white t-shirt. One.
Yeah.
It's t-shirt season. The white one's a little bit heavier. And the blue
one
ones
I'm wearing,
lighter,
a little bit, and obviously we still have all the t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats are still selling well, multiple options now. So anything you purchase that helps support the show, helps get the brand out there, we greatly appreciate it. Go to HoganJohns.com to buy the merch. Anything else we need to hit off the top?
No. Let's see what people want to know. They want to talk about.
Yeah, we asked for your questions on Twitter. I don't know. I purposely, like, you picked them out. I purposely have kind of avoided them to kind of sort of be surprised by them. So I'm excited to see what happens here. So I think our producer Kent's got them ready to go. First question from Clayton on Twitter. How would you rank the top three quarterbacks that a Matt Eberflus-led Bears team has defeated, and how concerned should we be about that?
I like this question because this has become this is the most popular criticism of Eberflus's success last season. Is it not? Like, this is it. Who have they played? Who are the quarterbacks they've played? And my first thought on that is, well, a lot of different quarterbacks played last year. There were so many different injuries. You play who you play. You can't pick your opponent. And what if they sucked against those guys? in all seriousness.
Yeah.
What if they sucked against Brian Hoyer? That would be bad. That wouldn't be a sign of things heading in the right direction. What if they were bad against Joshua Dobbs? Remember that amazing story that he had going up to that point? He was one of the most popular players in the NFL for a few days.
Yeah.
You know who ended that? Matt Eberflus. Story over. But what if the opposite happened? I get the point. I did some research to look back at the quarterbacks, but the criticism, I feel like, I don't know, it just falls short of what people are trying to make it out to be.
Well, it's fair in that it's factually accurate, right? That the Bears haven't necessarily, taken down a top quarterback in the league the last 2 years. I don't think, though, to your point, I don't think that really tells the full context of, well, really, should they have? You know what I mean? Like, one, they haven't had a ton of opportunity. But, like, did you really expect them to beat Patrick Mahomes last year? I guess is my point. Now, it would have been cool if they did. I just think the timeline of them building this roster matters. But, yeah, if we're having this conversation a year from now, and they still haven't, you know, battled that, grinded out a win against a, you know, a top quarterback, then that'll probably be fair, you know, even more fair criticism.
Jared Goff, go ahead.
No, I was just kind of looking at, yeah, who they've beaten so far. Like, who would be probably Jared Goff. Is that what you're about to say?
Yes, by far the best quarterback that they have beaten and probably should have beaten twice last season is Jared Goff. And I understand some eye rolls when you say that, because Jared Goff, I think ever since that like Rams game, that Vic Fangio Rams game and that cold night, like a few years ago, that Bears fans think that the Bears have like owned Jared Goff, and it's partially true, but Jared Goff had an outstanding season last year.
Oh, yeah.
The Lions offense was a machine. They reached the NFC championship game. The Lions were a darn good team. But if you look at the stats, like Jared Goff's season stats last year, the game log, two of his three worst games last year came against the Chicago Bears. The Bears should have won both of them. Get rip Matt Eberflus's defense for giving up that late lead in Detroit, or maybe you just need your offense to play some complimentary football. How about that criticism? But I think that Jared Goff argument should carry more weight than it does if we're going to bring up quarterbacks.
I'll give you one more, too. They did beat Kyler Murray in December last year, and Kyler played pretty decent in that game. I mean, he was fine. It wasn't exceptional. But those two quarterbacks are still legit NFL starters. So, but again, I think getting back to the original question, if we're still talking about this a year from now, I understand it. I just think that it's been somewhat of a battle of circumstance, and the fact that like expectations, how many of the games where they've actually played, you know, a top tier quarterback where they really expect to win? They've been sizable underdogs in a lot of those games. I guess we get to the next one.
Yep.
All right. Rob Peters, 26, with everyone talking about Caleb Keenan and Odunze, what are your expectations with the combo of DJ and Caleb?
Did you see like there was a tweet out there? I'm forgetting from whom. I'm going to mock it a little bit, so I'm sorry. But it was from someone in Pittsburgh where they kind of mentioned DJ Moore as a potential trade target because now he's like the number three option in Chicago.
Yeah, that's...
That is incorrect.
Yeah, that's not even... No.
He is the number one option. The Bears' number one wide receiver. He is their best wide receiver. You could be excited about the additions that the Bears have made at that position, but DJ Moore is still their best player at that position. So I expect the same thing that DJ Moore has done with every other quarterback he's played with. He's going to produce. He's going to have Pro Bowl-worthy numbers.
Yeah, I think that there will be a battle here between target share and, you know, but the fact is he's still, he last year he was like the only guy, at least amongst the wide receivers, really, and he still put up the numbers he did. So even if the presence of Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze, Gerald Everett, Cole Kmet, all these guys take some targets away, it should also open things up for him when they do throw it to him, because it's going to be harder to defend him. So that's kind of that battle I'm talking about. Is like this target share versus, you know, more advantageous coverage. And meanwhile, I'm not expecting this to be a team that's throwing the ball 40 times every game, but I would expect an increase in passing attempts and opportunities for everyone across the board, just given the what seemingly looks like an upgraded quarterback spot and a new offense here.
Even if you're just talking like a couple percentage points of an increase in completion percentage.
Yeah.
Justin Fields' completion percentage is always ranked amongst the worst in the top 32 quarterbacks in the league. It just has. That's fact. Now, you go up from 60% to 65%, 67%, you're talking about four, five, six more passes caught by someone, which, you know, could be a wide receiver's game in some cases. Four or five catches. Just thinking of it that way.
Yeah. It's a good problem to have. And for DJ Moore, this is the best quarterback situation he's played in and the best wide receiver room he's been in. But let's also not forget that Roma Dunze is a rookie. I think it would be unfair to expect him to catch 100 passes and 1,400 yards this year. Like, that would be pretty ridiculous. And Keenan Allen's only on a one-year deal right now with the Bears. So, going back to what you said off the top, like, to me, there's no question DJ Moore's still the number one wide receiver on this team. And I don't see any reason why that would change.
Do your research.
That's right.
Next question.
Grim Fluce, or CHGO guys as well. I'd like a bit of a deeper dive on Waldron. The talent on offense seems pretty damn solid. So my question is, how do you guys feel about Shane Waldron and his ability to coach this group?
Is this like an X's and O's versus the Jimmy's and Joe's conversation?
Yeah, I guess. Like, is Waldron going to hold them back?
No, like, I think, like, the best, like, offensive coordinators become head coach candidates because of the players they have sometimes, right? It's not like, and usually those players that they have are good players. Like, Josh McDaniels got two head coaching jobs because of what he did with Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Vic Fangio had an outstanding defense in 2018 with all pro players at all three levels. Got his first head coaching job. Like, and he's the one. I always, like, when I get questions like this, I always think of what Vic Fangio would always say. And he would bring up the X's and O's and Jimmy's and Joe's. Like, it's good coaches become great with great players.
You want both. Yeah.
It works both ways.
You want it to work together. Everything that I've heard about Shane Waldron, people I've talked to, is that schematically, he's great. You know, he's going to put these guys in a position to get open. If there's any criticism whatsoever, and I do not think it's unanimous, I think it's, you know, from some players, is that maybe in his past stops, he hasn't been the most dynamic coach at commanding the room in meetings and things like that. But has it really ever held him back from, you know, what he did in Seattle is widely considered to be great. And it was just a coaching change that sprung him open. I mean, you feel better about going out and getting Shane Waldron if you're the Bears than I feel like if you're the Raiders who just hired Luke Getsy, who got fired. So to me, the body of work here, schematically, with the talent that's been added, if the question is how do you feel about him coaching up this group, I don't have a ton of concerns. What I do kind of still keep into perspective, though, is that no matter how great you are at commanding the room, and this is a new opportunity, and every coach tries to improve from stop to stop, so maybe there's a, you know, an improvement there, but also, regardless of how good you are at that, it's never unanimous. Not every player loves every coach. Watch the Tom Brady roast. Have you seen any of that?
Not
I watched
yet.
About half of it so far. And it's like they're openly acknowledging up there that not everybody loved everybody, but they won a lot because they had good coaches and good players together, which is what you're going for here. And I think that that's, it's all set up for a good first season, with also understanding that there's this very real statistic out there that every single offensive coordinator position has changed over the last 2 years in the entire NFL. And it probably will, whether guys get promoted and hired elsewhere or fired because it isn't working. That's what this job is in the NFL these days.
Do you know who was pretty good at commanding the room? Luke Getsy. Okay. Do you know who was pretty good at commanding the room? Mel Tucker. Mm. You know, just something to think about. If he's a good play caller, if Caleb buys into what he's doing, then this offense will click.
Yeah.
I think, yes, great players make good coaches great. They make them head coach candidates. And so what if he doesn't become, maybe he's not head coach material, but if he can become a good play caller, he can find a good rhythm with Caleb Williams, really that's all that matters.
What question are you asking me?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, next question. Tie Town Bears, if we re-sign Yannick Ngakoue, do you see it being another one-year deal or a longer-term 3 to 4 year deal?
Oh, short-term deal, one-year deal. He is 29 years old. He's coming off, foot, ankle injury?
Yeah.
And that one-year deal wouldn't be the same as it was last year, not 1 year, $10 million.
No, not coming off the injury. And plus, it wasn't like he was doing a ton when he was even healthy.
Was he getting better? Yes. I think Montez Sweat was what the Bears hoped he'd be. He was, what's the word I'm looking for? He was multiplying. That was happening. And I think he could play. He could be a great complement to what Montez Sweat does, but No, it's not a 3-4 year deal.
Yeah, It'd be shocking if it was anything more than a 1 year deal.
I do think this is a real possibility, though.
Okay.
I really do. And I think it's a position the Bears know they have to add to. The draft didn't fall in their favor. It wasn't a deep class at defensive end to begin with. Roma Dunze was ranked higher on their board than all those defensive ends. So you have to bring more just because of the nature of this game. There's going to be injuries. You need depth. And in terms of contract, 1 year, $3-5 million, whatever it is, something like that, that should work for the Bears.
Yeah, and let me address that real quick before we move on to the next question, because I think people forget that every year there's this one position. There's this one position that is this glaring need that didn't get addressed. And that's because it's the NFL. And it's not the way this league is set up. One of the reasons why it's so great is there's so many positions. It's a league of parity. The salary cap works. There's a free agency season. There's a draft. And then there's the leftovers after the draft that are still free agents. And when the draft settles, when the dust settles from the draft, every single team on their list of whatever their top five needs were, one of those didn't get addressed, at least not to the level that it needs to. I mean, the Bears did draft a defensive end, but if they had used a high pick, if they had drafted Jared Verse instead of Roma Dunze, then people will be up in arms about how they didn't add a wide receiver to the draft. You know, so I mean, it's like, and there's been years where they didn't get their offensive tackle, you know, and that kind of applies this year too. It's just, it doesn't mean that there should be a panic over them not getting another defensive end. Remember, the second round pick from this year's draft was used for Montez Sweat. So that's pretty good draft capital used on a pretty damn good player who's already established.
Is Dominique Robinson on the bubble?
Yeah, I would think so. I think he was already in the bubble last year. Remember, he was inactive a bunch until Yannick Ngakoue got hurt. When Ngakoue got hurt, that opened up the door for Dominique Robinson to be active again on game day, and then he didn't really do a ton. So, yeah, I would think so. I think
Austin Booker just takes a spot.
Well, I mean, that'll get determined in practice, obviously. But yeah, anytime you have a 2 years go by and then they draft another guy in the fifth round
to develop,
that guy's probably going to take priority, but it's going to come down to, you know, how the practices are going. Competition. It's good. And I like the Booker pick. So we'll see how quickly he can. I like the Booker pick more than I like the Dominique Robinson pick at the time. Because the Dominique Robinson thing was like, man, this guy's been playing wide receiver and offense, and they're just trying to flip him to the other side of the ball and see how it goes.
With Booker, it just seems to be a matter of playing time, like film time. Like it's like the J.J. McCarthy conversation in a sense. Like,
kind of, yeah.
He's only played 505 snaps.
Right.
Of college football. That's not a lot.
But the snaps he's had, he's delivered.
Mm-hmm. He had a good Senior Bowl.
Yeah, he stood out to me at Senior Bowl from what I was watching on TV. To answer your question, I think Dom Rob is definitely on the hot seat or bubble, whatever we're calling it.
What else? Go ahead. I'm listening.
Next question. Or the Bears, 23. When watching Caleb Williams tape, what one trait stands out above the rest? Same question for Odunze.
With Williams, for me, it's the way he like manipulates the pocket. And I don't think Trubisky did that very well. I don't think Justin Fields did that very well. But you see it from Williams, right? Eyes are down the field. just comfortable, poised, calm, collected. And it's just the way he moves within that pocket. And then when he breaks it, the eyes are down the field. Like, just that type of spatial awareness, that feel, that I don't think a lot of players at that position have, like, as well as that. Like, that stands out to me, just the way he's able to navigate chaos comfortably. It looks rare to me sometimes.
I like this question a lot, and it's hard to answer because there's a lot of different things he does really, really well. Probably number two on my list would be what you just said about his eyes being downfield when he's scrambling. Because that, I think, is a huge difference between him and Justin Fields. When Justin would start running, he was running. When Caleb starts scrambling, his eyes are still downfield. He's still trying to get the throw off. But to answer your question, what one trait stands out above the rest? To me, it's the amount of different clubs in his bag. When you watch his tape, the different types of throws starts with his arm angles, quite frankly. But beyond just where he's releasing the ball, it's how he's layering these throws. There's a lot of different types of throws. His touch at times is incredible. And if there's any fault to it at all, it's that sometimes he overtrusts his ability to make some of those throws. And I am wondering if there's going to be a adjustment period early on in the season, because I do see some throws on tape quite a bit, actually, that I wonder, oh man, I don't know if that, I think that gets picked off at the next level. You know, some of those hero throws.
Which club would you use to describe his deep ball? Because it gets up there. It's not exactly like lasered.
No.
But it's got this arc that is just, it's something.
Yeah, it's like a Scotty Scheffler driver. Gets plenty of height. Maybe it's not drawing as much, but you know, it's a golf ball. But yeah, but that's why it's special. I mean, because some of these rainbow shots, like the one he has in that Oklahoma-Texas game his freshman year to Mims on the front pylon, it's like a moon ball that just
goes, I mean, like
65 yards.
And he's been throwing them since high school. I did a story on The Athletic. It was last week. And just talking to them about those deep balls that he's been throwing, like, it's always had that loft and that trajectory. Mm-hmm. Something different. Something special.
Yeah. And then the other part of the question was Odunze. For me, on Odunze, it would be his ability to track the ball in the air. I just think he is... That specific trait of his, I think, was up there with Marvin Harrison Jr. in this draft class. I'm not saying the total package was as good as Marvin, because I didn't have him as high as Marvin, but I had him number two to Marvin Harrison Jr. But the specific ability to track the football in the air, adjust to the football in the air, and make those contested catches, to me, was the best in this class. And there were a lot of good guys in this class, too, that could do that. But to me, that's the one with a Rome Odunze that stands out.
Can I use one word for him? Let me know how you feel about this. Okay. Dominant. Dominance.
Just in terms of...
Well, everything, really. But you want to talk about contested catches.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite comparisons, like player comps, was Lance Zierlein comparing him to Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah, I heard that a few times.
And just everything is dominant, right? Just the way he plays. And compares draft to the Larry Fitzgerald-like player. I'm like, come on, look out. It kind of still blows your mind a little bit, but that's how I would describe his play when I watch him.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. I mean, just... I don't feel like I had... We talked about this a little bit the morning after the first round, but it is still kind of crazy to think that they somehow landed both Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze. I mean, you have two top 10 picks, you're going to get two good players. But that was kind of like the dream scenario that almost seemed too good to be true going into the draft. And I honestly felt like when Ryan Poles was talking about that after he landed both players, like you could sense that in his voice, that even he was like, wow, it fell perfectly.
Like you don't want to believe it as we went through our own projections and our own mocks. Nah, this is going to happen. Let's look at these other guys.
Yeah. It's like usually the first mock drafts we do are like the most obvious ones that are like, once you get closer to the draft, you're like, in hindsight, that maybe wasn't realistic. In this case, that's exactly how it played out.
Well, you can't always project what teams are going to do at quarterback and the desperation that forces decisions.
Yeah. Atlanta. Insane.
Although not quite desperation. I don't even know what I would call that.
Stupid. I'm going to need someone to explain it to me better. Just to shell out that much money at the position and then draft another quarterback who, oh, by the way, is 24 years old already.
With bad knees. And a good player. I think he's fine. But
I like Penix too. But you're just not going to play him until he's 27?
Like I thought he'd go in the first round. Exactly.
I mean, you're either wasting your money on Kirk Cousins or you're wasting half of your rookie contract. Like to me, it's bad process either way. I just don't get it. Maybe it'll work out, but to me, it's bad process.
I didn't hear all of it. I heard a lot about most of it, but what I did hear, I did not hear any of that.
Mark, that was 10 years ago, by the way. Yeah. Crazy. All right, next question. Cubs and Ford, yo. At Cubs and Ford, yo. Is there any realistic takes we can come away with from rookie minicamp? From on the field? No. Well, I like rookie minicamp because you get to size guys up, you get to see them in person. You get first impressions, which I think so in terms of realistic takes. I mean, I don't know if any of that turns into takes, but. I mean, I'll never forget the first time, and I had already seen Justin Fields a couple times in person when he was in college, but I remember that first minicamp, that rookie minicamp, being like, oh, another reminder. That dude is huge. And that turned out to be true. Like, the way, when he ran with the ball and the way he shook off sacks all the time, like, that was all a real thing. So there's just first impression things. And then also, I think, off the field, just getting to talk to these guys. Two, you just get a little bit more of a sense of who they are and how they're going to be talking to the media and little things like that. So is any of it the end of the world? Does any of it determine their careers? Sometimes you have the rare, rare exception of somebody who shows up and teams already have instant regrets.
I was going to go off that.
Yeah, sometimes it happens.
And then you get the opposite of that, which is the good side of that, where you have confirmation of everything you hope the player would be, you start seeing. I always bring up two examples from the 2017 draft. It was Eddie Jackson and Tariq Cohen. I'm talking about like the duration of the entire offseason program, where the Bears almost immediately, which starts in rookie minicamp, were like, oh, we have a couple players here. We drafted them late, but we might have nailed this. And the Bears, with those two players' later selections, absolutely nailed those selections of Tariq Cohen and Eddie Jackson. I think that applies to like a lot of players. I'm trying to think of other examples. Like even to a lesser extent, like you knew right away that Mitch Trubisky is more talented than Mike Glennon and Mark Sanchez. Yeah. You knew Justin Fields had a better arm on day one. The Nick Foles and Andy Dalton, like certain things you see right away. Like when Allen Robinson arrived, like just in terms of like first impressions.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's a player there.
Yeah, no, I think that that speaks to overall OTAs.
Yeah, whole offseason program.
You know, rookie minicamp specifically. I think there's some examples we can point to from the past. And by the way, one of the other ones I'd point to of which you just brought up, Braxton Jones.
Yes.
2 years ago when all of a sudden we're like, wait, is he taking, who's that taking first team reps? Left tackle. Braxton Jones? Oh, really? And then it was like, oh, okay.
Oh, so he's, oh, really? Yeah.
He's actually going to be the week one. Oh, really? He's actually going to be the week one starter. Okay. Yeah. So sometimes that happens. That doesn't really happen in rookie minicamp. But the one example I do remember, this was that, well, it ended up being for a good player, but still a thing that mattered. Remember Eddie Goldman's first rookie minicamp practice?
Wasn't there a conversation about like his weight at that point?
Well, yeah. Well, there might have been, but he got dehydrated like really fast. Yes. And came up. He like left practice early. I think it was a hotter day in May.
And then the conversation happened about like his health habits and what he was putting in his body.
So it was obvious that early on, and he ended up being a pretty damn good player, obviously. But it was like the conversation that never really ended, which was, you know, conditioning, nutrition. Eventually it turned out how much this guy loved football because he ended up retiring a couple times. Apparently he's back.
I'm not sure.
No, I think he is back with the Falcons, but I don't know how much optimism there actually is that he's going to play or want to. I mean, who knows? But that's just one example where you don't really know it at the time, but there's certain notes that you write on your notebook at rookie minicamp that you might circle because you're just like, yeah, this is something to monitor. This is something to, you know, continue to watch going into training camp because it might be a thing.
I remember the questions about Kyle Long after his selection. Remember that? Like, didn't have a lot of collegiate experience. Mm-hmm. But then on day one, when he saw him on the field, like, okay, this guy is a massive athletic human being who's going to move people and be a tone setter. Like you just saw it almost immediately. Yeah. Like, okay, the Bears drafted a really good player here.
That's why I wonder with, I'm really interested to see Austin Booker early on here, not just, you know, this weekend. I don't know how much we're going to learn at rookie minicamp, but just during OTAs for them to trade back into the draft when they know other picks speaks to how much they like this guy and how much he was probably a lot higher on their board and eventually just got to the point where it was like, all right, this guy's still available. Like we got it. We can give up a next year's fourth round pick to get this dude. And it's almost like, you know, you saying Kyle Long's name just kind of made that pop into my head because like here's another guy who hasn't played a ton, but seems to have all the tools. And I just wonder what type of impact he can make early on.
Here's another example. Just for going down memory lane. Like all the great things that the Bears said about David Montgomery, offseason program, there it is. You see it. You saw it. Mm-hmm. Especially when the pads came out in training camp. Oh, this is a player. I wouldn't say the exact same thing about Roschon Johnson, though. Again, praised heavily by the Bears after his selection.
Yeah.
But didn't see it as much as what David Montgomery was doing. Now, that could be a matter of situation. David Montgomery kind of walked in and became the guy almost immediately. Khalil Herbert was still here last year, but just some thoughts I had.
Yeah. And going a little bit farther back, a little bit higher of a pick, but Matt Forte was the same way. When they drafted him in the second round, it seemed like he could be a plug-and-play running back right away as a starter, and then he just did nothing but run with it and had an excellent rookie season. So, that's why I do find this is kind of a nice time of year, I feel like, for me. One of my favorite times of year because, to your point, you said off the top of the show, you can relax a little bit. The draft's over. You can kind of take a deep breath, zoom back out on the roster. But you start to get these more casual practices where there's not a lot of anxiety. Guys are just out there. The weather's starting to get nicer. They're just a little bit more relaxing. It almost reminds me of spring training, baseball. It's just a relaxing atmosphere. guys going out there, just starting to compete, and you get these first impressions and you just start to see these little nuggets start coming together on the roster. I'll give you another example. Like going back to that Yannick Ngakoue question we had earlier. Well, you might not need to sign Yannick Ngakoue if Austin Booker shows up and starts looking like Braxton Jones 2 years ago, where all of a sudden you're in your second or third OTA week and you're like, wait a minute, this guy might actually have a chance to play week one at that spot. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but
contribute in week one.
You can be patient, is my point, and sign Yannick Ngakoue later after you've evaluated what you already have here. All right.
We got some things up our sleeve, so.
Okay, do we have any more? Oh, here we go.
Del
Pieri?
Pieri? Are we as fans getting too excited too soon? Should we temper an expectation that might run away from us or just ride it and hope we are actually underestimating the potential?
I think you embrace it.
Yeah.
Why not? The other side is just miserable. I don't operate that way. I just... Caleb Williams is the best quarterback in this draft. Roma Dunze, one of the best receivers. You traded for Montez Sweat. Like, this roster looks good. As good as we've seen it in a long time. Long, long time. As good, if not better, than 2018. Right?
Yeah. Like, it's just sports. At the end of the day, if your hopes are let down, it's more fun to have enjoyed it in the moment when it felt good, is the way I would put it. You know, I don't have any regrets about the excitement that everyone felt over that four-game stretch that Justin Fields and the offense had 2 years ago. Like, that was fun. That was overall a bad season, but that was a fun four-week stretch. And so what? Like, it ended up not working out in the end, but that was still fun. I hope you enjoyed it in the end as it was happening. So yeah, that would be my answer to that. Just enjoy this. Just enjoy this ride.
Or take Caleb Williams' advice. Don't duck it.
Yeah. Don't duck.
Don't duck it.
I like it.
I like take it on head first.
I'm going to bring up one more question that I saw on Twitter too. Cause I did say we could have some non-football questions. What's the best movie you've seen this year?
Best movie? I did see Dune 2.
Oh.
My oldest son and I went and saw it. We took in, I think it was a 9 p.m. showing. I did not realize that I'd be getting home at 12:30
wow.
a.m.
Yeah.
It was longer than I expected, but it was good. It was good. I know it's a reboot of a, like, if you know, like, there's reboots of movies. We all know it because they're no one's original anymore, but
right.
Like, the remake of this one is so vastly different than the original. I'm thoroughly enjoying the Dune series.
This is going to sound really sad. I honestly don't think I've watched a movie from start to finish since the beginning of the year. Like, really, I don't think I have. I did just recently get through Curb Your Enthusiasm. Because, that's always been one of my favorite shows. And it's been good therapy for me the last couple weeks, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to grind through this on these plane trips. And so Curb's been good. And I'm trying to think of what else.
I do have a request for all our listeners and watchers. If you have any book suggestions for the off season.
Ooh.
Adam Johns loves historical fiction. Takes his mind away from sports a bit. Send them over to me on Twitter.
Okay. All right, well, that's going to do it for us, I think, on this episode. I hope everybody enjoyed it. Good Q&A. We'll see how rookie mini camp plays out this weekend. We'll be back early next week to recap all that. As always, just a little disclaimer and perhaps a warning, but we do slow things down here in the offseason between now and the start of training camp. Of course, as soon as training camp opens back up, and it will be earlier than usual in July, right back to the usual grind here on Hogan John's, and that won't change at all. But we might be more like weekly here, and we will probably even have a week here and there where we're actually off completely, just depending on things. But we promise we will have things covered, like rookie minicamp this weekend. We got OTAs coming up. We'll react to all those as they happen on the calendar. And it should be continue to be a fun offseason. So we're not going anywhere. When the Bears demand attention, which is quite a bit in this town, obviously. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns, and on the show account at Hogan Johns as well. HoganJohns.com is where you can get these quarter zips, polos, hats, hoodies, t-shirts. Obvious Shirts has us hooked up with all of it. Check it out. Also, I want to mention, don't miss it on CHGO today. I have a long, about 40-minute conversation with Bears special teams coordinator Richard Hightower. We talked about
a special teams special.
Yeah. We kicked everyone else off the show. Just special teams guys talking special teams.
You might have to. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, also
the Cubs game, Greg.
Yeah. Man, no one else wanted to participate and talk special teams anyway. So it was fine. It worked out for everyone. But we had a great conversation. New kickoff rules, his involvement in that, some of the conversations behind the scenes. He loves Torrey Taylor. And I mean, loves him. So first comments from the special teams coordinator on the Bears' new punter. We got into a bunch of stuff beyond that as well. But I think you'll enjoy that conversation. You can check that out on the CSGO YouTube page. If you're watching on this YouTube page, this channel, Hogan Johns, please hit the like button. Please hit subscribe. And same thing goes if you listen the old-fashioned way on the podcast. Please rate and review it. Crossover, help us out. Send the links off to friends. Help us grow the show. We greatly appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
In Chicago, Rome was built in a day.